Who do you really rely on? They'll always be there for you. See you through the tough times. Never let you down. Who do you rely on? Some might say, no one. I look after myself. Recent years, the Co-op Funeral Service has listed each year the most popular funeral songs, the sort of top 40 of funerals. What do you think has been typically the number one? My Way, indeed. For what is a man, what has he got? If not himself, then he has not. To say the things he truly feels are not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blows and did it my way. But in 2021, that wasn't the top funeral song. It was replaced at the top of the chart. What do you think replaced it? No. It wasn't Smoke Gets in Your Eyes. Not Amazing Grace.
Another One Bites the Dust.
Another One Bites the Dust. No, no. This is taking a particular turn now, this interactive moment, isn't it? You'll Never Walk Alone. As far as I know, that's not because a lot of Liverpool fans suddenly passed away in different parts of the country or something, but it just became the top song. Where's that song from? No, they sang it. Not Showboat.
Carousel.
By? Rodgers and Hammerstein. And the lyrics in that one are different, aren't they? They capture the sense of needing others, not doing it my way, not walking alone. And maybe that's more like where I started. You know, we need somebody to rely on. By the way, we're not singing either of the last hymn, just in case anyone was wondering. And it's not just personally we have this sense, is it? It's not just personally, I need someone to rely on. You know, it happens with groups too. Teams need a good manager. Squads need the right captain. Countries want a decent leader, though we seem to struggle to find one. But we can get carried away with relying on others, can't we? We turn people into heroes that they cannot be, into saints, but they can't be our saints. We attach huge hopes to them, especially if we're desperate. We ask them to carry too much, a burden too heavy to bear. They can't do it. And then we find ourselves let down. Because we discover actually the person is never suited to the demand we placed upon them. Well, Mark 11, you know, it's about something of this. Here, we've got a crowd and they're excited because they found the man to save them. They found their hero. They are ruled by foreign kings. They're bullied by a brutal empire, but they've discovered a leader who can get them out of trouble. Jesus. The circumstances they're in help to create a high sense of excitement. The crowd are on their way to a national festival. It's in the capital city. They're rising up to it. The big gates are open. Everyone's going in. There's a party atmosphere. Passover. It's a festival that looks back to a most famous part of their history. They were slaves under Pharaoh in Egypt. And Moses came. What did he say? What's the famous phrase? Let my people go. One dark night, a terrible pain, there in Egypt, they were freed. And you've got a festival. Got a festival that remembers this, that thinks of freedom from slavery. And they are really in the mood, therefore, for a hero. And they see Jesus in this event that we've read about, this riding on the path towards Jerusalem. And they think, here's the man. Here is the hero. Except he isn't. Earlier, Jesus has told his closest friends, a few days from now, I'll be dead. Their hero is going to fail them. In fact, just before he dies, he's going to become the butt of jokes, where people will say, oh, he can save others, I've heard, but he can't save himself. Jesus is not the hero these people are shouting out for, shouting out that he is. Jesus is going to fail. Now, the story of his fall is not the focus of our talk this evening, but in passing, maybe you ought to know just how this captures human spirit, doesn't it? Human cruelty. You know, in our society, we build people up and we tear them down. It's what we do. We make our public figures less than human, don't we? Because they either have to be heroes or villains. As though life is that simple. You know, the festival crowd, they love Jesus. The Jerusalem mob, they'll turn on him. Despise him. Coming days, you're going to see in Jerusalem how cruel human beings can be. Wicked pride, so often found among us. We trash people. Gossip, slander, nasty comments of, oh, I thought that would happen. We can be a nasty bunch. We envy the gifts that others have got. We envy the resources that others have got. And then we are waiting for them to fall and fail. It's a very ugly human trait. Jesus will be subject to it. But that's later. Right now, Jesus is in the middle of the excitable crowd. He's amongst friends. He's amongst people who want him. And they expect big things of him. But he has to say to those who are close to him, you must take care. It's not going to go that way. I have enemies, he says. They are too strong. They will kill me. And yet every time Jesus says this, his friends go into denial. You know, it's like somebody who, very sadly, has become terminally ill. And they know it. And they accept it. And it's hard. But they know it's true. But they've got a loved one who's desperate for them not to go. And they want to comfort them. And they want to be there for them. And so they keep saying, oh, we're going to get you through this. We're going to beat it. It's not true. Jesus says, I'm going to die. But his friends, they're hoping, they're thinking, they're saying, oh, no, it can't be. Like I said earlier, when we put unrealistic expectations on others instead of seeing reality. However, turning the story. Though it is true that Jesus will be seen to fail, something very special will then happen. And Jesus has tried very hard to get his friends to hear that too. I will die. And I will rise. On the third day. Out of failure will come success. This is the remarkable message of Jesus Christ. It is the message that what's called the gospel, the good news. It's about a king who has come, who dies, and then is alive again. Success out of failure, or better to say it the way Jesus would put it, life out of death. Now, when you hear sort of success out of failure, that can sound like sort of trite self-help, can't it? Self-help advice. You know, it's like, not that I read them actually, but it's like reading magazine relationship columns. So just in case everyone's now thinking, oh, poor old Christine, why does David go around reading relationship columns all the time? I don't, but I have come across them at times. Relationship columns, you know, and you have this expert, and this expert is going to tell you how to handle the tough stuff of relationships. And then you Google the expert and look them up, and you realise that they made a complete mess of multiple relationships. They're divorced 3 times, and right now they haven't got anyone. But their response is, don't worry, my failure gives me expertise because I've learned from my mistakes. Well, let me say, it's very good to learn from mistakes. That's a tremendous thing. But do you really want relationship advice from somebody who's burned out multiple relationships? I mean, isn't that just a bit like taking medicine from a scientist who says to you, here, take this pill. The last 10 I developed killed everyone. But don't worry, I've learned from my mistakes. We're all okay. So it can sound trite when you say success from failure. You can think of the ways in which that's not true. But that's not Jesus. This is success from failure, which is different. This is success from failure, which is life from death. It is superbly different. He doesn't come to offer a bit of advice to you. Here's how to touch up life and get it a bit better. He comes with God's offer of new life. But if you like the sound of that, you do have to admit the failure first. And you have to admit that you can't fix it. What do I mean by those words? I mean sin. Doing what is wrong. Doing what we shouldn't do. Speaking, acting, thinking, feeling. What our consciences tell us is wrong. The Lord Jesus teaches that human beings were created by God, but have turned away from God, have tried to live without God, and so ended up doing wicked things that God never designed us for. That we've become unnatural. That we have become unhuman. Because a human is somebody who bears God's image, who lives the way God made us to be. And we've lost that. Oh, not totally. We're not in hell yet. But we're sinners. So the last thing Jesus would tell us is try harder. Here's a bit of advice. That would be utterly hopeless. But nonetheless, Jesus does offer success from failure. But it's not about self-help. It's about salvation. Rescue. You sit here this evening, can you admit you need this? Can you pray right now, inside your head, inside your heart, to the God who made you? I need you. I cannot save myself. And don't do the human thing. The human thing, when confronted with what we do wrong, is to misdirect and say, oh yeah, but you don't understand. My problems come from elsewhere. You have to understand the circumstances I was put in. You have to understand the nasty stuff that was done to me. You have to understand. I do. God does. The world's a vicious place. Mistreats us in all kinds of ways. Other people can be nasty. Some of them have caused you enormous pain. But you need to see your own failure too. You need to see your sin. We go wrong because there's something wrong inside us. But you don't have to have despair. This message of Jesus is a message that says, do not despair. Some people do. Maybe you feel it yourself. Maybe you know people who say, you're right, life is screwed up. My life is screwed up. And it's my fault. And I can't fix it. Well, the words are correct. But the hopelessness doesn't need to be in the tone. Because Jesus offers success from failure. He offers life to the dead. He has come to save us. If you trust him to do it. He comes to rescue you from yourself. Back in Mark 11, that's why Jesus does what he does. He's arranged this parade. He set it up. It wasn't spontaneous. It wasn't just that suddenly people got all excited about him. He set it up. He'd already planned it and arranged for the colt he rides on. And he set it up knowing that he was setting up the crowd for a fall. That he showed himself as king, which he is, but that the crowd would take him to be their sort of king, which he isn't. And it would leave them in despair. It would hurt them. Because their sort of king is the one who rides out to success and who fights a big battle and who carries a big weapon and who wins. They think he's a warrior. I mean, they even start singing old songs of victory. They launch into Psalm 118. And they chant that Jesus is the son of David, who was a famous military tactician of 1,000 years earlier. And Jesus lets them do it all. Even though he knows they'll soon see his beaten up, bloodied corpse hanging on a plank of wood. He sets them up for a letdown. Why? Because that way they'll understand this greater salvation. All the time, they still have hopes in the normal way of fixing things, the advice column way of getting stuff done and getting through and finding a way. They'll be hopeless because it never works in the end. We always get beaten. We always get beaten, if not by nothing else, than by death. No one here gets out alive. Jesus needs these people to feel a sense of absolute despair with themselves and with their heroes that they would set up. Because then, they'll know how lost sin has made us. And that means that just when all seems darkest, God can give them real, bright hope. The resurrection. The raising of Jesus from the dead. The one he talked about to his friends. Then they'll see the salvation they truly need, a God-given new life. And they so need this. Think about these people for a moment. Who's their hero? Their hero is David. That's what they call Jesus. You're the son of David. It's like David's come back to us. We love you, you hero. Who is David? Greatest king the nation had ever known. What a man. Was he? He really was. Fought like no one else. Survived adversity. Showed tremendous loyalty. David was the sort of king you could rely on. That's why people want another one like him. And what did the great king do? Seduce a young woman. He exploited his power. He knew if he said she had to come to the palace, she would come. And who was the young woman? She was the daughter of a friend of his. Not a stranger. Someone whom he had once bounced on his knee, probably, as a child. And who is this woman now? She's married to one of his soldiers, fighting on the front line. And what does he do? He uses his power to seduce this young woman. And when she gets pregnant, to protect himself, he arranges that the husband dies in an unfortunate skirmish. You really want David back? You can't rely on him in the end. Jesus needs the crowd to recognise they need more than a human hero. Jesus needs us to recognise we need more than a human hero. We can't rely on ourselves or others in that final sense. God has to step in. That's precisely the path that Jesus will follow. When he's struck dead, it will show where human sin leads. That's what human sin does to us in the end. It kills us. And we are all sinners. We can't win. We are failures. And Jesus' failure on the cross will put that on display. But then God will raise him and say, look, out of failure can come success. Out of death can come life. And I offer this to you. To you. To you. Now. Jesus, he was not only human, he was the Son of God, God's eternal Son. When he died, he didn't die for his sin, he died for the sins of others, for us. There was no need for him, therefore, to stay dead. He didn't deserve it. And so God raised him. And Jesus says, that life that came from my failure, that life that came out of my death, you may have it, if you will trust him. This is the gospel message. This is the good news. This is what God says to you, to me. Success from failure, life from death, of a real sort. Now maybe, you hear me describing God's better way and think, but hold on a moment. I'm not just let down by other people. I feel let down by God. I feel as though he lets me down. He hasn't helped when I have asked. He hasn't changed situations I've begged him to change. He hasn't saved the life of someone I pleaded with him to save. It's all very well saying, God does what we can't. But I've not seen it. He let me down. Well, it's true. God does let us down. Just as Jesus let down these people with this parade. All seemed so good. Then he was dead. He set us up. He gets us all excited. He parades down the road. And then he's dead. But God's letdowns are not random. They are planned. He knows what he's doing. And in the midst of them he says, I know. You feel let down. But you trust me. All will be well. You feel I let you down. Trust me. All will be well. It was with Jesus. The king in the parade became the corpse on the cross, became the man in the garden, became the king of heaven. All was well. Success from failure, life from death. You can have the same. What will be your funeral song? What are you going to have at your funeral? Will it be in the co-op top 40 when we're all stood round your grave? My way? Shouting your strength in the silence of your coffin with your breath that doesn't work anymore? Oops. You'll never walk alone? Oh, except actually when you die you will walk alone because no one can go through it with you. Oops, bad song. Or will your funeral song express faith in God? Trust. He knew what he was doing. He knows what he is doing. There will be life out of this death. We're told that not long before Jesus was tortured to death, he sang psalms. Songs of praise to and about God. We don't know which ones, but he knew he was about to be murdered. And he sang. He sang psalms. He knew he could rely on God. You can too. Put faith, put your faith, put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your faith, put your trust in this God, and you in the end will never be let down. You will find that no matter how much life has felt like it failed, it will succeed. That no matter how much you will feel like you have died, you will live. And this is what God has promised through Jesus Christ.